All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. In the name of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. A friend of mine, Alistair, who moved from Vancouver to Victoria, Canada, recently wrote a blog entitled Ode to Tables. He tells the story of having to find a larger table for his new larger home. And because tables are so expensive, he and his wife decide to get a fixer-upper off of Craigslist. He thinks that he can get it, he can refinish it. Well, the refinishing doesn't go too well. And because a table, an old family table, actually arrived at their home, it had been lost in transit. They realized they had a little more time to find their table, and so that began. When they find their new table, they decide to sell their old family table. Well, the table sells quickly, and when the person who's buying the table comes, Alistair finds himself overcome by emotion. He's surprised at that, but that emotion that he's feeling is because of what the memories that table has produced in him. He thinks about the people who sat at the table, the late night game nights, the conversations that were had at the table, the meals shared together, the prayers offered, the friendships built, the lives shared around the table, and God's grace lavished out upon those who came to the table. He writes, "Tables are much more than pieces of furniture. They anchor our lives amidst the growth and change that we live in. Tables are sacraments of sorts, visible reminders of invisible memories." My grandmother's table is a table that I remember. We return to them year after year at Thanksgiving or Christmas holidays. Since we lived in a military family, we were transient. We weren't around extended family. And I looked forward to spending time at my grandmother's table, not only for the good food, although that was really abundant, but I looked forward to hearing the stories. The stories of my family. It was at her table that I heard stories about my ancestors. And it was through these stories that I built my life, my identity. I was trying to figure out through those stories who I was because of who I was a part of. We celebrate and commemorate the Feast of Pentecost today. Now, in an agrarian society, this is a festival day that signifies a dedication of the harvest to God, who is the provider of all blessings. We can imagine those blessings as God's rich story of redemption. That story that we have the privilege of seeing, as Dean Kidd said last week, every time that we come, we're surrounded by the story here in this place. The story starts over when we see the image of Jesus, the baby, with his mother Mary. The incarnation, the Son of God, joins humanity as a baby, entering into our vulnerability to be for us Messiah. To the stained glass narrative of Jesus walking amongst us, to the stations of the cross that are along the walls and on the bottom of the walls here, leading us, taking us with Jesus on his passion walk to the cross, where he overcame with the sweating of blood, "Not my will, but thine be done," to the cross with his dead body nailed to it. where he gave himself a propitiation for our sins, sacrificed his life for our own. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. To the resurrection represented here in the baptismal font, today we're going to be with two beautiful children who will be baptized, two precious children. The newness of life given, the font where the dry bones receive the breath of God, given new eternal life. To his ascension, up here, we see where the only begotten Son is seated next to, ruling and reigning with our Father. Where they send out the Spirit of life to give new life for the world. We see, as represented there, the image of Jesus with his hands open, welcoming the giving of the Holy Spirit of God to indwell in the hearts of God's people for the sake of those who don't know God as their Father. Pentecost is the fulfillment of the divine plan of salvation for God's people. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all in one place. That word "had come" in Greek means to be finished, to become finished, with the sense of coming to an end. The Holy Spirit's coming on that day was a coming to an end. But what was it an end to? Pentecost is the last day of the season of Easter. It's the continuation and the completion of the Paschal feast. The light of the Paschal candle is taken and put into the hearts of humanity. It's a continuation of the saving work of Jesus Christ. Pentecost is one day, the 50th day after Passover, and it commemorates the fulfillment of God's promise to bring salvation to the wider audience of the world. The significance of the day is in the New Testament, in Acts 2, where Pentecost marked the beginning of Christ's church. It's the day that we commemorate the church receiving power to be witnesses to Jesus in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It most definitely is the empowerment of the church towards the mission of the kingdom of God. But it's also the power given to the individual. I mean, we can see that in the scriptures before and after the coming of the Holy Spirit. In Mark, when Jesus is being led away to be crucified, Mark writes, all the disciples deserted him and fled. And then we see in Acts 5 when Peter, after being infilled on that day, is taken in by the religious council to be reprimanded, to be threatened, because he's been told not to preach in the name of Jesus. He's doing it. They're going to flog him, maybe try to kill him. And then they send him out and say, don't do it again. And Luke says, as they left the council, they rejoiced that they were considered worthy to suffer the dishonor for the sake of the name. In Ephesians, Paul states, of this gospel I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given to me by the working of his power. We are made disciples by the work and the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit's work is intimately connected to the saving work of Jesus. Bishop Emilio Alvarez, in his book Pentecost, A Day for Power for All People, says Pentecost is inescapably about power. The power of God to infuse life into his people. You can see that. We can see that in Ezekiel's vision of the dry bones and the power of his people, in giving him the power of his people to be a witness in their speech and in their actions. I submit to you today that the Pentecost is a feast. As a feast, is God opening up his table space. He's inviting people to his table. And his believing, waiting disciples are the means for the invitation to be given. Isn't it interesting what Luke reports as the first action of the disciples when the rush of the wind comes and the tongues of fire come down on their mouths? All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. And what were they speaking about? What was the Holy Spirit wanting to convey? They were speaking about God's deeds of power. They shared their stories. Actually, they shared the story about God's power with strangers. God values the table. He set his table right down in the middle of Jerusalem at high festival time, knowing every tribe and every tongue would be there. And then there in the middle of the streets, he loosed the tongues of his people. He rained down on his waiting, believing disciples, opened their mouths to proclaim his praise to people who were not God's people, so that they could become God's people. But also, the people who were hearing, right? The people who were hearing what was being said, they understood what was being said. The Holy Spirit was working in the unbelievers as well, giving them understanding. The work of the Holy Spirit happens to all, believing and unbelieving. Everyone around the table is touched by the grace of God. Everyone around the table is touched by the grace of God. Pentecost empowers us to be communally sensitive. That should be the forefront of our celebration at Pentecost. Pentecost is primarily communal, not individual empowerment. Yes, the communal depends upon the individuals who are surrendered, yielded to God. But this event in Acts 2, this event is specifically communal in nature. God met all the people where they were, and he wants his children to do the same. As we get ready to move into the long green season after Pentecost, what does our table look like? I encourage us to ask ourselves this question. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you envision the space in our life, what it looks like. I agree with Alistair. Tables are much more than pieces of furniture. Who sits at our table? What friendships are we building? What are we eating together? What games are we playing together? What conversations are we having? What prayers being offered? And how is God's grace being lavished on those sitting around our table? It is at tables that we hear stories that help us build our lives, help us form our identities, and nourish our souls. Everyone around the table was touched by the grace of God. The Holy Spirit has come. The Holy Spirit has come. We are empowered. Let's be the ones who build lives and nourish souls. Amen.